nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone, and we are live here February 24, 2021. It's just, you know, life just gets more and more hilarious each moment. I've been on the phone with people all morning to see if I can get my little water pump going. So after we repaired our leaks, that the freeze blew it out, which hadn't done anything for 25 years. So I'll give you an idea of how cold it got here last week. And now the water pump is having a bad hair day. But so we still, you know, it's about day 12 for no shower. So I'm glad we're doing this virtually. But, you know, life is good. I feel stronger and happier and better than ever. And I like that whole idea that what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. And I feel better and more positive about the world and my life and the show and where we're going than I ever have. So I don't know what that's about. But we're going to have fun this morning. Richard Mayberry is here on the fourth Wednesday of the month. Richard Mayberry is a good man. He's one of us. He's the editor and publisher of U.S. and World Early Warning Report. It was formerly Global Affairs Editor of Money World. He's got all kinds of books, Blue Stocking Publishing, and Blue Stocking Press, rather. And it's all the great books that the homeschoolers use a lot. These are great books for you as well, regardless of your revolutions around the sun. Like Whatever Happened to Justice, that's the classic one. What Would Thomas Jefferson Think of This? Oh my God, I don't even want to ask that question. And eight other titles. He has an ethics solution course, and he's here, and it's an honor to talk to him from once a month. Mr. Mayberry, how are you, sir? Do you have a water pump handy?
Well, I think I'm probably a lot better than you, considering what you folks have been going through. Wow. But I'm good. Thank you very much, Patrick. It's good to be back.
It was really something. So I want to talk to you. First off, you got some cool things going on about freedom and what could be going on in this culture in this your latest early warning report, which I guess is the March, right, that is just out.
That's right.
But before that, let's address something very top of mind for me, and this is we had rolling blackouts for a week here, and it was interesting where they would turn the power off for 3 hours, turn it back on for 3 hours, you know, one of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was going on all kinds of places around Texas. And we just ran a video from a think tank here, an electric utility people, that seemed to be not left or right, but just kind of down the middle. And they say they study this stuff, and they can show where the reason this happened is because federal governments, Richard Mayberry, and state of Texas and other states have been subsidizing billions of dollars this supposedly, ostensibly sustainable energy like windmills and solar panels, right?
Yep.
And they're the huge array, which, by the way, the Chinese own the land. I don't even know if you want to go there, but oh my God. I mean, yeah. And these things all froze up, and they had snow over the solar thing. And if they wouldn't have done these rolling blackouts, this fellow says that Texas could have gone dark for a couple months because we're independent from the rest of the world. I mean, the rest of the country.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So talk to folks what happens about malinvestments, not for only this, but all things, when governments get involved with subsidizing stuff because they think it's a good idea.
Okay, it goes back to how a person gets elected to office. And the thing to keep in mind there, the most important point, is that you do not get elected by understanding things like, oh, let's say electricity or economics or foreign policy, geopolitics, military affairs. You do not get elected by understanding those things that you will be doing to the population once you're in power. You get elected by being an expert at getting elected. And that's who's running every government in the world, including the federal government, on down to the state and local levels,
uh-huh.
and all around the world, in all governments. The people who are in power are the ones who are experts at acquiring power, not at understanding what they're doing to you and me.
Ew. And we, the people who vote, and we don't understand this, do we? That's why we have guys like you on, so we understand. My goodness. So this malinvestment thing, we're being told, and have you looked at this, that this is what happened in Texas, is what the globalists really want to happen nationally with this Green New Deal thing, with this whole alternative energy without backups for it?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the goal of these people. They think they know how to run the world. They think that once they have political power, that they are somehow endowed with this supernatural wisdom that enables them to run the world. And they have gotten into their heads this idea that we all need to have wind power and solar power replace the reliable stuff like oil and coal and gas and nuclear. And so there's another thing that drives all of this, which is this idea that good intentions will lead you to good solutions. And that's just simply not the fact. But they go through with these plans that are based on good intentions, mm-hmm. without really understanding what the heck they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the only way to really run an economy efficiently, so there's jobs for everybody who wants one, and incomes are rising, things are getting better all the time, is to use free markets. That's how we got where we are today. If you look at the standard living of the typical individual 200 years ago, it was horrible compared to today. In fact, all through history, the kings and the presidents and prime ministers and pharaohs and emperors, all of these top wealthy people did not live as well as the average American does today. You think about it. A Roman emperor did not live as well as you do today if you're a middle-class American. And the reason that we do live so much better than a king or an emperor is that in the 1700s, capitalism started to come up, and it gave rise to the Industrial Revolution, in which the goal was to produce as much as possible for everybody, not just the kings and the emperors, but produce as much as possible for everybody. That's what capitalism is about. And it worked fantastically. It was like the 19th century was like this just this unending string of miracles, inventions that people came out with that gave us the electric light and railroads and all sorts of other things that emperors and kings never had. And today we're there's that free market system is being routinely sabotaged by these people in political power who think they know how to run the world. They don't. Free markets know how to run the world, and the proof is abundant. Since the beginning of the 19th century, you can just see this tremendous increase in the way we live, this tremendous advantage. In 1935, when Social Security was invented, the typical American lived till age 61, and now it's over age 80. In that short period of time, the human lifespan was increased that much. It's amazing. And that all comes from free markets, not from those idiots in these national capitals that think they know how to run our lives.
Has the free market idea been lost on both parties, Republican and Democrat, over the years? It's not just a socialist thing, is it?
Well,
or not?
Yeah. Well, I think it's completely lost on the Democratic Party.
Sure.
And very largely on the conservatives too. Although Reagan and Thatcher did cause a reawakening there, so you've got some conservatives that really did come up knowing something about economics, real economics, not just crap that these colleges teach, mm-hmm. but how things really work. So the conservatives are better, the Republicans are better, but they're a long, long way from good enough, I think.
Sure, because you'd have to argue that all these subsidies going on with these, just call them alternative energy, has been going on for 5 years or 6 years, and that was all during the Trump administration, which he supposedly wasn't, but I guess they have no idea that all this is going on. A president couldn't keep tabs on it all anyway, right? I mean, there's money flowing in and out like a big slush fund in Washington. How would you keep track of all of it?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody could possibly understand what the government does. There's no human being could grasp it. It's so big and so powerful and sticks its nose into our business so much. There's just no prayer that anybody could understand it all.
Yes, sir. Richard Mayberry is with us on the fourth Wednesday of each month. We are live here, February 24, 2021. And Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief, he's kind of an interesting fellow. He's going to be here in a few hours. And he's going to make the argument that this Mike Lindell absolute proof video that kind of took over the world, and he said they prove that the Chinese were involved with the voter fraud. Mike Lindell, or Joel Skousen, wants to ask a few questions that nobody asked, and we'll see what he has to say about that. And I think he just may be on to something, because I was watching the video too, and I was asking the question when I watched the video, Mr. Mayberry, because I was saying to Mike Lindell, where did this come from? Where did Mary Fanning get these, right? Where did these documents? How come you're the only one that has these documents? How did you get them? Where did they come from? You need to ask those questions, as much as I was rooting for voter fraud to be out. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got to ask the question. So we'll talk to him. So give us some idea, Mr. Mayberry, of some other, before we move into what your main thesis of your early warning report for March was, which is pretty fascinating, big picture, what you think is going on freedom-wise. Other malinvestments, say you have the alternative malinvestments. You've been talking about malinvestments for years, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are some other things that people can relate to that governments have got involved that screw thing up the free market?
Well, right now, probably the most obvious thing is that they are admitting that they are pumping out trillions of new dollars into the economy, just like a counterfeiter does.
Yes.
They don't admit counterfeiting, but that's what they're doing. They're injecting trillions of dollars into the economy, like a giant counterfeiter, and that money does not descend on the economy in a uniform blanket. It goes into specific areas. Now, it might be kind of uniform on the first level of the injection, right? When they first do it, it might be kind of a level thing, but what happens is that on the very next transaction, whoever received that money goes out and spends it on whatever he wants. Nobody knows what that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so the money that is going to one location is not going to another location. So you get hot spots all over the economy. And there are places where a lot of money is going in and other places where none is going in. And those ones that are hot spots are ones that it's more easy to run a business because there's a lot of money in the area. And so businesses spring up in those hot spots to take advantage of those flows of money. That's malinvestment, because when they stop printing the money, then suddenly those businesses don't have incomes anymore, and they start to collapse. And that's what's called a recession. And if the printing of the money does not resume to bail out all these businesses that shouldn't have been there in the first place, if that printing is not resumed, then you have what's called a depression, and that's where these businesses just go out of business and they're replaced by something else, and that can last longer. It doesn't have to, but it usually does, because the government tries to stop it and they make it worse. So that's essentially what's going on. You can see it right now in the economy. You've got all kinds of investments they're going up like crazy. The one everybody knows about is Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's platinum and silver have been going up and various other stocks that have been going up and really strongly. I mean, it's amazing. I've got actually some statistics in front of me here.
Okay.
Some prices real quick. Now, this is since the bottom in around May 1st, after the COVID crash.
A year ago.
Wow. Yeah, a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit less.
Yeah.
Okay. Gold is up 4%. Platinum is up 59%. Silver is up 81%. Palladium, 20%. Raw materials in general, you know, plywood, oil, iron, on and on, up 64%. And the various currencies, the New Zealand dollar is up 17%. So all these dollars are chasing these other assets now and driving up the prices of those assets. And it's very likely it isn't going to be long until that money is going to start chasing consumer goods too. And you're going to see consumer prices soaring too.
And so this, and that's precipitated then by the Fed creating money on a computer and loaning it to the Treasury, we the people, right?
Yeah, and it's getting distributed in various ways with various government programs. The U.S. government alone, not the state, not the local, just the U.S. government alone, has 72 welfare programs.
72. Wow.
Yeah, and that's one of the ways that they inject money into the economy is through these giveaway programs.
I read an article, and I'd like to find the source material, but this fellow argued, he sounded like, you know, that there has been like 20% of the money supply that's ever been printed was printed in 2020?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Is that possible?
No, that sounds right, yeah.
Jeez.
You can go to the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis.
Yeah, I got that. Right. Let's go there. What is it, Fred, right?
Yes.
Fred, what do we call it? Fred Money Supply?
I follow the MZM.
Oh, MZM. Yeah, we got that one. Let's do MZM. Yeah,
that's the one I think is the most accurate.
Fred. Okay, we do Fred, MZM.
Mm-hmm.
MZM. This is great, man. Fred, we love Fred. He knows what he's doing. Old Fred does. money with a zero maturity is Fred, right?
That's right.
And so
they do compile it, yes.
Well, almost $22 trillion.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? What does that mean? MZM money stock. What does that mean? What's that $22 trillion? Who's got that trillion?
It's all over the place. You and I have some of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the banks and in, you know, businesses. It's just all over the place. It's used in transactions, and you know, in case the audience doesn't understand, money responds to the law of supply and demand, just like everything else does. When the quantity goes up, the value goes down, and so as this quantity of money goes up, then assuming people spend it,
mm-hmm.
what happened 10 years ago is they didn't spend it; they just put it in their pockets and kept it. But if they spend it, it goes into the economy, which is what it appears to be doing this time, and it pushes up prices.
But I'm looking at your March early warning report, and you always have a nice little chart, and you tell us what the velocity of money is, right?
Yeah.
And then the velocity of U.S. dollar, velocity of the U.S. dollar, estimated and estimated U.S. velocity. Wait, why is there two? Why am I confused? Estimated world velocity. Oh, world velocity of the dollar, sorry. And U.S. velocity, that is going up, U.S. velocity, right?
A little bit. Yeah, that in my calculations, yeah.
It's going up.
It's, velocity is a really hard thing to measure. And so almost any measure you see of it is got to be taken with a grain of salt. But my belief is that still velocity is pretty low. And when it returns to normal, when it's right now, it's down in our stage, in the middle of stage one. There are three stages in a runaway inflation. The first stage is when the velocity is very, very low. People just aren't spending the money. And then you go to stage two where they're spending it really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then stage three is where the money becomes worthless.
Well, would we have been in stage three in the 70s, Mr. Mayberry?
Pretty darn close.
Okay.
I think probably on the border between two and three.
Wow.
In the 70s.
When Jimmy was in the White House with his sweater on and he was whipping inflation, now I saw the button.
Yeah, right. What happened was the head of the Federal Reserve was at a meeting in Europe. This is around 1980. Mm-hmm. And the other central bankers in Europe called him on the carpet and said, come up to our room.
Really?
We want to talk to you. And so he got in the elevator and he went up to their room, and there was, I don't know, a dozen or more of these European central bankers there, and they said, you got to stop printing dollars right now or the whole world is going to have a runaway inflation. And the chairman of the Fed got off, walked out of the room, got up, down the elevator, went to the airport, came back home, and told the Treasury, you know, stop printing the money.
And stop borrowing the money, because the Fed prints it, right?
Yeah, Fed prints it, yeah, okay. Right. But anyhow, what happened is they did stop printing it. There was a really bad recession, and interest rates went up to the point where Treasury bills were paying like, 16 and 17%.
Yeah. And then that's when gold went from, what, $100 to $800 or so over that decade?
Yes, over the decade of the 70s, yeah. It did. And then when they stopped printing money, then gold crashed. And it took many years for it to come back.
How long did it take? I can recall, I guess around 80 or 81, Mr. Mayberry, is when gold would have topped about 800, 850,
yep.
Something like that. So when they stopped printing the money, how long did it take for the gold to go back down, and where did it go to? Do you recall?
It's
been a long time ago.
Yeah, I think it was below 200, but I'm not sure.
It went all the way back down to 200.
Yeah, it was a real big crash.
And how long do you recall how long it took to get to that 200 mark?
That was like 18 months or something.
Oh, really?
I remember, yeah. Right. It was pretty quick. If I'm remembering right, I would have to really look at the numbers.
So I guess the real smart money sold their gold at 800 and bought treasuries for 15% interest, right?
Yeah,
I missed out on that one. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, that's exactly what did happen, yeah.
Did you do that?
No, I didn't. I hung on.
Oh, you did?
Well, for me, I don't speculate in precious metals at all.
I see.
I'm just a buy and hold guy.
Just a buy, yeah.
Yeah.
Buy and hold. Okay, let's take a little break, and then I want to get back, and you've been talking about some kind of revolution is going to happen in this country for a long time, and your latest newsletter, you kind of put it out there like saying, guess what, folks? It's time. Okay, so we're going to talk to you about that, but let's do a couple commercials and sell a few products here so I can buy a water pump, and you know how that works. And we'll do it. Daniel Vitalis, this idea of colostrum being really good for the immune system, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the thing about colostrum is that it is developed in the blood of the cow right before it calves, and it's developed so that it can format the immune system of its calf. It's pretty important to understand that a calf would have no immune system if it got no colostrum. So it's pretty well understood that if you deprive a calf of colostrum, it's going to have a failure to thrive. It might even die. Now, human beings are a little bit different. We can survive without our mother's colostrum, but we never are going to have a fully intact immune system. The important thing to remember is that we're living in an era where there's more people alive today with dysfunctional immune systems than ever before. And colostrum gives us the ability to actually restructure, rebuild, and reformat our immune systems so we can really thrive in our modern world today.
Explore, research, and order all of Daniel Vitalis' products clicking on the Sirthrival links on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. And we got a few days left. What is it? 4 days left for this colostrum sale. If you've never tried it or if you're a colostrum user, 20% off. It's a big sale, the biggest one of the year. Use promo code HEALTHY2021. HEALTHY2021. It's February 24th. We're live. You have four more days, and you can, when you're there, pick up some pine pollen, elk velvet antler, some of the digestive bitters. Just load up on some fun stuff, Daniel Vitalis. Nice things to have around just to keep your immune system all happy. Healthy 2021 colostrum sale, 20% off from Daniel Vitalis. and Easter Thrival Link. This product we've been promoting for about 6-7 years. People love it. Previously with chemist, biologist, and nutritionist George Altgeld, we asked him this. And so what do you think about Dr. Seneff's contention that as these glyphosates are in the soil, they bust the sulfur cycle, and that's really detrimental to the body?
It's extremely detrimental. Sulfur is such an important detoxifying agent for the entire body and especially for the liver. You've got to have trace minerals so that the liver can build these compounds that are essential for getting itself cleaned. And that lady who was talking about sulfur, man, play that ad every chance you get, because our foods are so deficient in sulfur, and it is a big deal for the liver to have enough sulfur to make all those compounds that it uses to detoxify itself. Not just sulfur, they're all important, but sulfur is the one that we're so deficient in, and we need sulfur.
Thanks, George. I had some this morning. You might want to give it a try. You can click an order right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. 3 locations, 3 prices delivered. And if you like more than £4 for a discount, email me, Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Quick little plug here before we get back with Mr. Mayberry. As we're live here this morning, February 24, you can do some research into some of the things going on with molecular hydrogen, Brown's gas, in Japan. It's actually a medical device, and they're using it for helping folks to recover from the strokes, believe it or not. Some pretty magical things. You can go to molecularhydrogeninstitute.com, molecularhydrogeninstitute.com, go into studies, look at some of the studies. These are peer-reviewed studies using hydrogen for all kinds of things. There's many, many people out there that are selling you these little plop, plop, fizz things, and you can make a little hydrogen in your water, and that's fine. You'll get a little bit. But if you can these machines, invest in the AquaCure machine, you're going to have more hydrogen in one glass, and you get probably 2 or 3 of these plop, plop, fizz, fizzes, and then you breathe the gas as well, and that's really powerful. Yeah, check it out. It's on the front page, AquaCure machine. Use promo code OneRadio. And email me if you have any questions. I can give you some insights. I've been using it for about 18 months, and I'm still crazy, but I am. I'm feeling better and better than ever. So still crazy after all these years. Promo code OneRadio, the AquaCure machine, OneRadioNetwork.com.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com.
We're live here on the fourth Wednesday of the month. Patrick Timpone, February 24, 2021. Joe Skousen will be here in a couple of hours or so. Richard Mayberry's early warning report. And you've been doing this, how long have you been doing the early warning report, Mr. Mayberry?
Well, that's, let's see, 32 years.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I was a global affairs editor of Money World before that. Yeah, my first money I made writing about these subjects we talk about was in 1969.
Is that right? And you were a school teacher before that?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Or no, after that for a while.
After that. So, Mr. Mayberry, what do you think old Thomas Jefferson and Thomas Paine and these people would be thinking about what's going on in our country today?
Well, as you alluded to the March early warning report.
It's a good one, too, boy.
Whew. Thank you. Well, thank you. Yeah. I think that any of the American founders, and the one that I quote in the newsletter is John Adams, but I think any amount of American founders would have told you that, in Adams' words, the revolution happened before the war.
The revolution happened before?
Yeah, the revolution was a different thing than the war.
Yes.
The revolution, in Adams' words, was a change in the hearts and minds of the people. When the people found out, when they began to understand how much the government was hurting them, then they lost their loyalty to the government, and they started backing the Continental Congress, and then the war happened.
Oh.
But it was the change in the hearts and minds of the people that Adam said was the real revolution. And that took like, probably 30 years or thereabouts, or 20 years at least.
Interesting, yeah.
To happen. But once it had happened, once about half the population had decided that the government had become their enemy, then the government would not accept their Declaration of Independence. And you had this war that went on for, 8 years or something like that. And the thing I home in on the early warning report is that in America today, we are following the model that was laid down by the American Revolution. And we are at the stage now where the revolution, I think, in America today is over. That about half the population sees the government as something to fear.
Wow.
That it's dangerous to them and to their loved ones. And the important thing there is loved ones, to the children.
Mm.
They are beginning to understand that these idiots in Washington who think they know how to run the world don't know how to run the world, and they're wrecking the place. And they are going to create a situation that is going to be very bad for the children.
Hmm.
And I think what you see in this, the popularity of Donald Trump, was that the half of the population now is scared of the government, and they want somebody to do something about it. Now, what that something is going to be, I don't know. Trump tried to do something, and he got part way. I mean, you got to give the guy credit. I mean, he did reduce taxes.
He hung in there. Yeah, he hung in there.
Yeah, and it had a wonderful effect. You know, the best economy in decades was created by him and his reduction of taxes and regulations. But, he's gone now, and... So the question is, you got half the population out there now that wants somebody to protect them against the government, and they're going to be looking for somebody. And I don't know if they're going to find a George Washington or maybe a Napoleon.
Do you think this half, in your opinion, are going to wait around, hang around for 4 years to take a chance on voting somebody in that's going to save them?
Yeah, I think they won't. They won't.
They won't. They won't wait.
Right. That's right. Yeah, they're
not going to wait.
Well, I think right now they're looking for somebody else.
And yes, sir.
I have been writing about this for at least 30 years.
I know you.
this day would come when the American people would start to realize that the government was hurting them seriously.
Yes, sir.
And then the question is, is this thing going to go in the direction of the American Revolution to the system of liberty, or is it going to go in the direction of the French Revolution, which is the Reign of Terror?
Now, explain. I don't understand the Reign of Terror. What do you mean the difference between the American and the French? Explain, please.
Well, the Americans had a background in the old British common law that was based on the two principles that I write about a lot. The first one is do all you have agreed to do. That was the basis of contract law.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is do not encroach on other persons or their property, which is the basis of tort law and some criminal law. So they had an ethical foundation on which to build the new America. And they followed those two laws.
Yeah,
very, very closely in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
When they were building the Constitution and all, you see those principles running all through the debates and everything, the Federalist Papers, all of it. The French did not have a background in British common law. And when they rose up, they just went nuts. And it was just go out and massacre anybody that you didn't like. And it was a horrible, horrible thing. It was called the Reign of Terror.
Yes.
That's when the guillotine was invented.
Yow,
yow. It was chopped off with their heads. If you didn't like somebody, off with his head. What has been worrying me for at least 30 years is that the understanding of the importance of common law, or if you want to use the term natural law, has been lost by the American people. Nobody understands it, you know, except some lawyers do, but they don't talk about it much. It's gone. It needs to be reawakened, because if we don't have those fundamental principles, we are going to go in the direction of the French Revolution instead of the American Revolution. And that's kind of, well, what the March issue of the newsletter is centered around, is that we're there now. The revolution has happened. There has been a change in the hearts and minds of the people. The question is, where are they going to go from here?
And it appears, just from the cheap seats and the bleachers, that the globalists who are kind of controlling things are almost piling on with, you know, two masks, and maybe we're not going to get out of this thing for another year, according to Fauci. And local governments today, restaurants only are open halfway, and all kinds of things. So it appears that they're almost stepping on the gas.
Yes.
Do you get that?
Yeah, I really do, and that's what happened in, you know, back in the American Revolution.
Yeah.
The government, instead of backing off, the government clamped down tighter, and that triggered off the war.
Don't these people know what could happen?
No, I don't think they do. You've got to understand, in all around the world, socialism took over all of the educational systems. So practically every school in the world is either owned or controlled by government agencies.
Uh-huh.
And what those government-controlled schools teach is that the answer to every problem is more government.
And if you add things like, you know, the big tech censoring people that question what they're doing, right? And that's huge, what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Parler and Facebook. I mean, our show, we got censored from Facebook and YouTube and Vimeo, questioning just the safety of the vaccines or questioning anything. Voter fraud?
Yeah,
and you add that on there, and then now we're being called domestic terrorists. I mean, I'm serious. Yeah, really.
Yeah, look back at the 1776 revolution. We're just repeating history. We might be doing it electronically, but we're repeating what happened 200 and some years ago.
Were those people, as the revolution was brewing for 30 years, called domestic terrorists? In their own words, in the same way? Like they were bad people for questioning George, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The so-called establishment certainly regarded them as what would be called today terrorists.
Right.
You know, I don't know if the word was actually used back then or not. It could have very, very honestly been used on the British military. The British military, there were a couple of incidents where the Navy just sailed up to some town on the coast of America and shelled the town.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a pretty good act of terrorism, I would say. So, you know, the government was much more terrorist than the Americans were. But I haven't heard the word used very much.
Yes. Do you think that this whole voter fraud thing that's been out there, that many people saw all kinds of real evidence, you know, with films and affidavits, which are, you know, sworn affidavits of thousands, and Lindell notwithstanding, and I don't know where this Chinese information, you know, the IP addresses, it may or may not be right, who knows, but this must be a real leverage for people to be even angrier, right? Because they don't even believe that Mr. Biden is illegitimate.
I can't disagree with what you're saying. I think something, though, to keep in mind is, in at least in my mind,
yes, sir.
What the Chinese did, or I should say, what people in China did, we don't know that the government was behind it.
Right.
But, and what people in Russia did, and in Iran did, and in North Korea did, is to be expected. When you have a imperial power that has tremendous control over other countries, then the people in those countries realize they can't get rid of it, but they can control it. And they start sending their people to the imperial power's country, trying to get control of the imperial power. so that they can use it for them instead of against them. And that, so you find this all through history. The countries that are dominated by somebody else will try to control the somebody else, and usually the conqueror becomes the property of the conquered.
Oh, good. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So do you have any theories on why there's still, 25,000 military in Washington, D.C., and it's still fenced off today? Do you know what that's about?
Yeah, they're afraid of that half of the population that now has dropped their loyalty to the government.
Storm the castle kind of thing.
Yes.
Oh, my
God. There's actually reports that that the military is vetting the troops in Washington, D.C. for loyalty.
Loyalty, in other words, would you be willing to fire upon the citizens if they if they storm the castle?
Yeah. What happened in the American Revolution was that the British government sent a whole lot of their troops over to America to try to get control of the colonists, and a lot of those troops switched sides.
Do you have any sense of how many, what percentage of the military would actually fire on Americans? Could you even guess? I mean, that's a pretty spooky thing to even think about.
It is. My guess is that at the outset of the conflict, very few would. But what would happen is that the government would sucker them into starting to shoot at Americans.
Uh-huh.
They would create incidents in which the troops are almost forced to fire. And in that way, the troops would get it into their heads that for their own safety, they had to start killing Americans. There's no way I can envision that they would just throw the troops against a mob of Americans and have a mass slaughter. There would be people planted in the crowd that would shoot at the troops first.
Is there a way that 100 million people could peacefully not let this government take advantage of them in all these different ways without waiting 4 years to try to get somebody in they like? Would there be any other mechanism?
Man, I don't know what it would be.
Yeah.
And that's why I 30 or more years ago, I came to the conclusion that what we have to do is teach those two principles to people as much as possible, because there's some kind of political upheaval that's going to happen, and we want them to go down that road. If that groundwork hasn't been laid ahead of time, and God help us. So that's really what the key to what I'm doing these days is trying to get those two principles out there much as I can. You need a legal system based on those two principles. Once you've got that, you're on the way. You can redo the 19th century, and you can have tremendous prosperity and jobs for everybody as soon as possible. But if you don't have those two principles, it's going to go bad.
It's almost like we'd have to reinstall the republic and get rid of this democracy idea and get rid of the swamp. I mean, how does that happen?
Well, it'll kill itself off. That's what
they get so swampy they just die.
It just becomes so dysfunctional. It comes apart. But I have got to go here.
I know you do. I wonder if 100 million people could figure out a way how to just not pay their taxes. I wonder if that would get their attention. Could that be possible? Oh, let's not go there. All right. Okay, I'll leave that. Okay, I'm just going to throw that one out there and let the NSA take care of it. Mr. Medbury, it's always an honor to have you. Sorry, we had some technical things. If you know anybody with a water pump, just have them. I'm just kidding. It's
okay.
Early Warning Report. Richard Medbury, he's here on the fourth Wednesday of each month at 11 o'clock Central Time. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your ongoing support and being here.
Thank you, Patrick. You're doing a great job, and I really appreciate it. You're the best guy on on the radio anyplace.
Thank you so much.
I love it. Yeah, you're
very,
bet.
Very good.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Richard Medbury, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. What a great guy. I've been reading Richard's early warning report, I mean, maybe 30 years or so. What was interesting about my introduction to Richard Mayberry, just for me, I heard about him through my spiritual teacher in Eckankar, which was, I mean, in Sri Harold Klemp, and he was doing a talk. He used to talk several times a year, and he mentioned the two laws, right? He mentioned Richard Mayberry's two laws, and this was maybe 30 years ago. And he said, there's a fellow by the name of Richard Mayberry who has coined the two laws. And they are very clearly, do all you have agreed to do, and do not encroach on other persons or their property. 17 words or something. And he said this, he was talking, you know, and this is a spiritual teacher. And he said, get these guys and you got it. You know, spiritually, you're good. You don't create any kind of karma for yourself if you do everything that you've agreed with somebody, and you don't mess with people, you don't mess with their money, their life, you know, their stuff, you're good. And that's how I first became aware of Richard Mayberry. So I found him, began getting his newsletter, and had it off and on all this time. And if you are interested in learning more about how do you look at geopolitics and all this stuff from a big picture, and where maybe to put your money and how to protect your money, I really recommend that you get this early warning report. And I think it's just earlywarningreport.com or Richard Mayberry. Let me see. Well, it's somewhere. Yeah, here it is. earlywarningreport.com. And it's not expensive. And sign up for a year. And it comes out about 10 times a year. But he's really a fun guy to talk to. But those two laws, do all you have agreed to do and do not encroach on other persons or their property, you could use that. And that's really the basis for common law, right? And well, the first is contract law, do all you have agreed to do. And the second is tort law, which is, you got to pay people money if you mess with their stuff, right? You steal this stuff, you got to pay it back, or you could run according to Richard Mayberry, you know, from the cheap seats here, you could run a whole country on those two laws. That's it, just two laws. And I would challenge you to come up with anything that governments could do or you could do that wouldn't come under those two laws. And right now the government has, I don't know, I was reading in his latest newsletter, I think there's 300,000 laws, 300,000 and 13,000 executive orders. Wow. Amazing. Well, folks, stay tuned. We're going to be asking the questions that nobody else is asking. And we are doing, you know, we're just kind of a boutique talk show here. We don't do a fear porn. We try to ask really tough questions, like we're going to be asking about Mike Lindell's Absolute Proof video with Joel Skousen in about an hour. We're going to be live here, World Affairs Brief. He's much of a curmudgeon in a way, a friendly guy. We like him a lot, but he's also a contrarian, and he will keep you honest, and now you have a tendency to somehow go too far over the edge one way, and not ask the better the good questions. But I think we need to be asking some really tough questions of everybody, even those that appear to be on our side, if we got sides here with the freedom-loving people and globalists and, you know, socialists and fascists. We have to be asking questions. There's a lot of people out there. I mean, all you need is a camera and an internet connection, talk shows, getting billions of listeners and just making stuff up. Just making stuff up. And that's how they're just doing fear porn and clickbait and making stuff up about the money, about the Federal Reserve. Oh, the Fed is taking, Treasury's taking over the Fed, and, and all this stuff. And so we're here to help you to try to, you know, sift out the wheat from the chaff here, chaff or whatever the word is, a little bit, and so you can make reasonable decisions. We put a video on our front page this morning with a good guy, and I like him. I'd like to get him on. David Steele. Is it David Steele? Yeah, David Steele and Joni Batra, and she's talking about that, in her opinion, this year coming up astrologically is going to be even more challenging than last. Whoa. So, don't get afraid. Just stay prepared and, you know, stick around here. We're going to try to help you to stay on top of your game so you don't run out of water. I mean, I learned a lot with this whole thing. I mean, one simple thing is I could have filled up both bathtubs with, you know, I don't know how many kabillions of gallons of water and been able to flush toilets for 10 days. Boom. Right there. Right in your bathtub. And it's simple things, right? And so we're going to be keeping an eye out on a lot of things. Tomorrow you'll hear conversation with Melissa Sell and Gerald O'Donnell about spirituality stuff. That'll be tomorrow. And then we're going to have a whole fun day on Friday. And we're going to really dig into the question is, what is the thing that is keeping you and me, one thing, from being happy and productive and living the life of our dreams? What could that be? We're going to talk about that. So I love you all very much. See you in about an hour. We'll be back here live this morning or this afternoon. It'll be afternoon, February 24th, in 1 hour with Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief. So you just hang in there. Come back in about an hour, and we'll have some more fun. I love you all very much. I really do. May the blessings be.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.